So this morning's reading is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And this is from the NIV version there, up there. It's a little bit different than the ones in the pews this morning. And this is Isaiah, and a passage from Isaiah. Isaiah is anticipating both, thinking in terms of the kings of the Davidic line. David is a king, and certainly he's aware of that continuing kingdom line. But he's also aware that something is going to happen. The whole reason that we, people of Israel, were brought into this promised land, it's bigger even than having the safety of a king that can take charge and handle all those other countries that threaten the door. And so Isaiah is anticipating, like us, as we wait for Christmas. Let's listen to these words. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt, and faithfulness will be faithfulness to sash around his waist. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow will lie down with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put hand into the viper's nest, and they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The word of the Lord. So there's a man walking into this grocery store, and he sees the jelly and chocolate donuts at the front by the bakery. And he walks as if to walk right past it. But then he smells the jelly and chocolate donuts. And then he has this conversation with himself, talks to himself. Any of you ever talk to yourself? All right. I wanna do a little test before we move on about whether you've ever talked to yourself. Okay. So I want you to think about this now. Okay. Do you talk? Have you ever talked to yourself? That's the question. All right. All right. Their hands going up. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, I want to say something. Either it's all right not to raise your hand, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't raise your hand. But I'm going to say this, is that if you had to think about that, guess what? You were talking to yourself. All right? So the man is in there. He sees the jelly and chocolate donuts. And he has this conversation. And it goes like this. It's sort of like the angel and the devil. You know, it's like this, the conversation. And on the one side, it's like, boy, do these smell good. And then, you don't want to have those donuts now. It's going to ruin your diet. You know what? I can manage just having one. But if I just have one, I'll feel a lot happier. and 2 pounds heavier. But I can walk faster to the office, and I'll work off the calories. You lie. I'll run. Forget it. All right? Now, have you ever had that kind of conversation? So, when it comes to being reconciled, this man was not reconciled to himself, let alone with you and me or with God. Now, I'm not saying, you know, if you have that conversation that you're in big trouble, even more than just the fact that you want the jelly donut and you have a diet that doesn't include jelly donuts. But I am saying that there is this challenge we all face about being reconciled, and it's a constant conversation we have with God. And so I want to explore this morning that constant conversation and the process of being reconciled with God. Being reconciled with God is the second movement of worship for us. First, we explored last Sunday was about being drawn together with God, by God. And so this morning is being reconciled with God and with each other, within ourselves and with the world. So if we're reconciled not only with God, but with ourselves, that means that when we are sitting there talking about the donut, we can have that conversation. But at the end of the day, we know I'm loved. This is not a life or death issue. God is so powerful, so loving, that whether I have that jelly donut or not, won't change one issue about whether God loves me, whether I'm connected and whole, whether I'm reconciled and healed. And in fact, the person I buy the jelly donut from, God may be wanting me to talk to. So it changes the story. This is powerful, powerful stuff for our lives. So the way I want to look at this is, first, is before the advent of Jesus, and then after the advent of Jesus. Before and after. And in this way, by taking a picture of before the advent of Jesus, that is, before Jesus was born, and after the advent of Jesus, after Jesus was born, and even to this day now and beyond, we will get, hopefully, this understanding, an awareness, and an appreciation of the power and gift of being reconciled. And so yearn for it evermore with God on our walk with Him. All right, so let's take a look first at before the advent of Jesus. So before the advent of Jesus, this is how it worked. Well, first of all, some people, and this is whether it's before the advent of Jesus or after, you know, there's one way that we deal with this problem of disconnect is we just deny it. We go on our way and we go, okay, so what? But for those who are interested in being all that God put them on the planet to be, it's a different story. And here's how it works. Before Advent, once a year, they had this day called the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. And what that is this day where all the people gathered at that place of meaning for them, which was Jerusalem Temple, and even for those who, for whatever reason, couldn't gather at the temple, this was still that day. And this was still for them. And here's the process. So Aaron, the priest, he would sacrifice a bull. He would kill the bull and he would sacrifice that to God for his own sins and for the sins of his family. And he would wipe the blood on the mercy seat or the place in the inner holy of holies place of the sanctuary. There were a whole bunch of layers and places. We'll talk about that some other day, but basically it's the most sacred space of the temple in Jerusalem. And he would wipe the blood 7 times on the mercy seat there in the innermost place. And that would be so that he himself, the hope was that he would feel more reconciled with God by wiping the blood of the bull 7 times there in the inner Holy of Holies. So then Aaron went to the congregation outside in the court area and asked for 2 male goats and for a sacrifice. Now, what would happen is that there would be the drawing of lots for which of the 2 goats would be in which role. And the 2 roles were, 1 male goat would be the sacrifice to the Lord or to God. And this male goat would be killed just like the bull had been killed, and the blood from the goat would be wiped in the same place the blood of the bull was wiped. And so that the temple itself would be sacred, and also the sins of the people would be wiped away and atoned for. Now the other goat, not the one killed like the bull, but the other goat would be the scapegoat. And this is how this works. Let me just, the general idea of this, the 2 goats, is if the first sacrifice doesn't work, then do it again, or do a second sacrifice. Yeah, plan B. If plan A doesn't work, then try it again. It isn't actually plan B, it's actually plan A again. All right? Does that make sense? So, so have you ever tried, you know, you're trying to work on a project, you tried something, it doesn't work, do you try it again? Well, okay, but it doesn't work. Anyway, so the thing with the scapegoat is that Aaron would take it out in front of all the people and lay his hands on it, on the head of the male goat. This is the scapegoat. And he would confess all the sins of all the people. Now, he doesn't know all the sins of all the people, but they just would say, okay, we hereby place all of the sins of all the people upon the head of this goat. And then they send it out into the desert. And actually, there's another priest that walks out with it into the desert. In your passage this morning, it said, to Azazel. And this was thought to be a demon of the desert. And so this priest assistant would walk the scapegoat out into the wilderness, way out. You know, picture, think of this as sort of the community that didn't know what to do with its trash. So it goes as far away as it can. Or if you've ever seen the movie with the Coke bottle. What's the name of that movie? Gods Must Be Crazy. So they send the Coke bottle as far away to the ends of the earth, what they think literally is the end of the earth, and to drop the Coke bottle off the cliff of the Pacific Ocean, whatever it was. Same idea. And that's before the advent of Jesus. Now, did it help? Yeah, maybe. I expect it helped because, first of all, they're intentional. They want to remove what blocks them, keeps them from God. And they don't have any way but what they have to deal with. They don't have Jesus. But that's how they dealt with attempting to be reconciled with God. I don't know how you deal with attempting to be reconciled with God. But I wanted to share with you, there's a way, and now that we have Jesus. Because after the advent of Jesus, there's a way, it's like a reset button. How many of you have a computer? How many of you have a computer that has gone bonkers and is not doing what you want it to do? All right? You hit the restart button. And this is a restart button. This method over here, it didn't have a restart button. It just tried to sort of bail faster than it was coming in. It's like, you know, the water is just coming into the boat. It's like, all right, bail. And so that's their method of dealing with the problem of sin was to bail faster than it comes in. And I'm glad that they were bailing, right? But there's a better way. And it's powerful. So how can we be reconciled with God since the advent of Jesus? Well, it's this restart button I'm talking about. It's accepting your acceptance, accepting God's acceptance of you. You see, because God has already accepted you. He actually created you before the formation of the world, before the, you know, you were born long ago. God knew you just intimately by name before you were born and loved you and accepted you then. But the problem that we've had over here of trying to constantly bail out what we feel separated from God is that God says we need to do this in a new way. And he sends his son, and he's got a reset button that's available to us now. And that is, God, through what Jesus has done on the cross, I accept it. Jesus is the one who is my reset button. Now, many of us think that it's free. That God's grace is free. That this reset button is free. Guess again. Jesus paid it all. There's a hymn that goes, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. As that goes, crim it has washed me, just stain he washed it white as snow. So, the power of God is expensive. The power of God in reconciling us is expensive. It's more expensive than that new car that you've been looking at and wondering whether you should buy it for your grandson. Maybe no one has thought of that, but anyway, it's expensive. It is infinitely expensive. And you are infinitely precious. You are infinitely valued in God's eyes. There's no price God will not pay that you would be reconciled with him in your life. If it had cost more to do it, he would have paid it. Amen? Is that good? So accepting God's acceptance of you. How do you do that? God, I accept that you accept me. I accept what Jesus has done for me, and I want it, and I claim it right now. There's a prayer that's a powerful prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Holy Spirit, have mercy on me. And that's the same kind of prayer. It says, I accept that I'm accepted because of what Jesus has done. Now, it doesn't end there, you see, because that's the baby step. That's the first step. We're not done with being reconciled at that point. We're way better than we were over here trying to bail out all of that stuff, all of the things that kept us down, including our feeling unworthy of God's love. And many of us feel that. But this reset button overcomes even that because his price was huge, giving it to you. Paying for what was needed that you would be reconciled. Now, if you know that he's paid that ultimate price, the biggest price, and he would even pay more than that if that were how much it cost that you would be reconciled with God. Is your heart moved to say, I want it, and what's more, I want others to feel that reconciliation as well. And any time I come into a disconnect with my spouse or with a friend or with someone I know, if I come into a place of argument with someone else, is I need to stop right now and go to my friend and say, you know, I messed up. I've fallen short and I love you, but I haven't expressed myself in a way that feels loving to you. And I want to be reconciled with you. Because you see, if we don't do that, the gift of reconciliation is tarnished and dimmed. The light doesn't burn so bright. And we start wavering back to that place where we have to start bailing again. But if we'll say, God, your power in me, not mine, that I might be a spark, a humble spark of reconciliation with those I'm at odds with. Maybe even, oh God, maybe it's with you that I'm angry with. I say I love you, but I'm angry with you. And I want to be reconciled even with that anger. I want to be reconciled with you in every way. So go and leave your gift at the altar, as it says in Scripture, and be reconciled first with your friend, then come back and celebrate that you no longer need to bail water, bail sins. But you just hit the reset button. Say, God, let us know. Thank you so much. Now, the other thing is, you're not even done yet. Because God says, the shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. First, the second king in the line of David. And it's a stump. This bailing out of water over here, that's a stump. It's something that has a tree that's been cut down. And it's a stump that doesn't work anymore. It never did. But now we have something new. And we want to keep on doing it. The prayer in the Lord's Prayer is, thy kingdom come. And it's not here yet. It's coming, but it's not fully here yet. In Scripture, there are passages that say, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. And the word repent in the original languages may accurately be translated as keep on repenting. Keep on reconciling ourselves with those who need reconciliation. So if we will keep on accepting, God accepts us. If we'll keep on being reconciled as God has reconciled us, then the day soon will come where the lion and the fatling will lie down together, and the child's hand upon the adder's den will never be hurt or destroyed on all God's holy mountain. And all the earth will see it together and know God as we're coming to know him. As the water covers the sea.